Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not-so-fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to The Catholic Man Show. Hallelujah. I said it. Hallelujah. Woo! It was a long time coming. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Adam Minahan here with Sir David Niles. Mm. We also have our good friend, fellow priest of the Diocese of Tulsa in eastern Oklahoma.
And of God.
Also a brother-in-law to David Niles.
In the order of Melchizedek.
Also a good friend of ours, all the way from kindergarten as well.
It's kindergarten class reunion right here.
2 years ago, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just a handful.
Father Sean O'Brien, great to have you here.
Good to be here.
We also have Jim here.
Jim,
it's been a long 40 days.
We'll see.
But Jim is back.
Yeah, we'll see how you rate the yummy scale today. I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure what your rating is going
to
be.
I'm interested to hear.
Today.
But he is here with his strength. I feel very secure.
Yes.
I am sitting next to him.
I feel like our whole conversation is going to be like more at ease.
Yeah, we were pretty uptight the last 40 days.
You just never know. People can break through the door.
Totally.
And that's going to be okay.
If they do, it's on them.
Oh, yeah, if they do now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get what you sow, what you reap.
It's their own fault.
No, you reap what you sow.
Yeah.
Although, ironically, you also do sow what you reap because those are the seeds that you have.
Unless you buy the seeds.
Unless you do that.
Right. We have entered into a new season. Yes. A new liturgical season.
The best.
The best season. I've also entered into a new stage of fatherhood.
Oh.
I have now entered into the stage of fatherhood of, did you turn out the lights? Fatherhood.
Yes.
One that I never thought I would get to because I just did not think that was going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
My dad did it all the time.
Yeah.
I did not think it was that big of a deal growing up. I did not think that it was something really to like be concerned about. It's like 3 cents for the light to be on.
Especially now with LEDs.
So are you feeling, are there more lights being left on?
Yes.
Is the electricity the issue?
That's not it.
It's just like...
It's the principle of the thing.
Right. It's about having order and like having responsibility in the home.
We're conservatives here. We will conserve electricity.
That's right.
We don't leave the water running in the sink.
That's right.
When you're not there, don't leave the light on.
I just did not realize that I was going to come to this level of fatherhood. But here I am.
Well, congratulations to you.
Yeah.
I've also been at this level for a while.
And it's very weird.
It sneaks up on you.
Turn off the lights.
A little bit.
It does.
It's not like... One day,
you just decide.
You put on a new pair of pants, and then you're, that kind of dad. You just kind of realize at some point,
like
you hear words coming out of your mouth, and you say,
"I haven't heard those words for 20 some odd years,"
right.
And it was from my father,
right? Like Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's like that's a name I have not heard in a long time.
Yeah, which is very weird.
Well, congratulations!
Thank you. I feel good about it.
You've made it to true fatherhood.
All right, we're having this evening. Penelope, straight rye whiskey, toasted, barrel finished, which I'm not sure what kind of finish.
What's the finish? Barrel.
It was wood.
I think actually
or metal.
All whiskeys are barrel finished.
And barrel started and barrel middled.
Yeah. But they do. Oh, so here's what it is. They finish the straight rye whiskey in a new freshly toasted barrel.
Okay.
So, like, it's a toasted barrel finish. That's what it's not.
Oh, it does say toasted. It's not toasted barrel finish.
It's toasted barrel finish.
That is confusing because it's a different size. The word toasted, different line, different size, different color.
So, 100 proof, but, well, it's a rye whiskey, so it's going to have a little bit of bite, a little bit of sting to it. Hopefully. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers. 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 To the risen Christ.
Mm.
And to my goddaughter, whose name is Penelope. Or one of my.
Ooh.
Mm.
Cheers to her.
Shout out to Penelope. Jim, what do you think?
Do you need some time before you
some time?
Before you come up with a yummy scale?
He's okay. Discerning. I mean, he is probably a little rusty.
I mean, when you look at him,
his palate is probably like needs to get back acclimated too.
Yeah.
So,
we'll give you a minute or two, Jim.
We'll catch you on the flip side.
I'm not a rye guy. I mean, I just don't drink it very often.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my preference. And this is kind of, it's a rye. I don't have a lot to say about it. I think it's probably good as ryes go.
How do you describe that rye flavor? I feel like there's like a low flavor. I don't know how else to describe it. Is it that lowness there?
It's a little bit of that burn, that strength at the very end that you catch. Also has, because it is toasted, you can almost like smell like burnt marshmallows.
How do you toast whiskey?
You toast the barrel.
And you put the barrel on the fire?
The inside is all charred.
Sometimes they'll have a barrel upside down on a conveyor belt, and then they have like the biggest flamethrower you've ever seen, and they just
char
go
it
for like 15 seconds, and like they let it have it.
Mm-hmm.
Take that whiskey, you're gonna be toast.
Yeah.
Now, Father Sean, you are the pastor of three parishes
in two counties,
in two different counties:
LaFleur County, Haskell County. Poto, Spiro, and Stigler are the towns. And I'm also the pastor of every town in between.
Even though there's no church.
Even though there's no
You know
church.
What? That is interesting.
What makes it interesting?
I just wouldn't have thought about...
Can you be a pastor without the... Do you have to have a church to be considered a pastor?
That's a good question. I never thought about that. You would have to have a territory, at least.
Right. So it like puts it in your...
And I would assume that you need a location to celebrate the sacraments, so that would be the parish.
Yeah. I have never thought about, being the pastor of a place where there's no church, but...
Missionary, you know?
Yeah, but it does make sense that, hey, this is your territory.
At least a territory.
I've always understood it to be like that you're the spiritual father of all of those, like you're in charge of those souls that are in your quote-unquote territory. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like here in Broken Arrow, we have Saint Benedict, but Father Brian Brooks is in charge of more than just the people who go into Saint Benedict.
Walk through the doors.
Whether you're Catholic or not.
Right.
He's got their soul.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have like the O'Brien triangle between your three parishes.
You can describe it as that way.
Yeah.
As you wish.
That's how I like to.
Yeah.
Starting right now,
You walk into this triangle, you're toast. You're Catholic. This is
like this whiskey.
Game over.
You're toasted.
You're toasted. Right. Flamethrower of grace upon your soul.
I love it.
Sacred Heart burning you up.
And you've been there for how many years now?
Going on completing 3 years. So two and almost 3 years. This is my third year.
Okay. And before that, you were?
I was an associate pastor here in Tulsa. Mm-hmm. At two different parishes, three here also in Broken Arrow, but at the other church, not y'all's place, St. Mm-hmm. Anne's, and then mm-hmm. 1 year mm-hmm. at the church we call St. Pius.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I got my Spanish feet underneath me.
Nice.
Or not very well. The people suffered my Spanish, but they suffered it with grace.
Your Spanish now is pretty good, though.
It's good. I'm just thankful. Yeah. I do it well.
But so this is your first like pastor assignment.
First pastorate. Yeah, I'm the first time the pastor.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you are how many years a priest?
Oof, eight? I think seven plus. I think this
almost
is...
Almost eight then? Yeah.
Yeah, about ready to complete 8 years. Yeah.
Thanks Praise God. God.
Praise
I do
God.
Love it. I love it.
Yeah.
This is the best.
Eight,
the best.
That's a big year. It's like...
Is it?
There's like the seven...
8 year.
The seven,
a
eight,
big year.
Eight is like a good number because it's the days of creation plus one.
Okay.
You know,
I buy
like
that.
Sometimes in churches you'll see eight... like eight pointed stars. Baptismal sides with eight sides. Right, because it's the it represents the eighth day of creation, which is the
first
eternal
day of the new creation. Would be the seven plus the one.
Right, exactly.
Just like we heard on Easter Sunday, on the first day of the week. That means 7 days have already been completed, and this is day number eight. A new cosmos.
There you go.
Has arrived.
Yeah.
And you're also a podcaster yourself.
I am. Deep Dives with Father Sean, the Super Catholic Catechesis podcast. This has been inspired by the Catechism's reminder that times of renewal in the church are inspired by tense moments of catechesis. That's a quote from the Catechism. So, yeah, that's what I do.
Good book.
I strive to do it every week. It's tough as a pastor. There's, you know, it's just to be frank, it's a lot more exciting to be a pastor than a podcaster.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had a podcast like y'all's, this would be super cool. Instead, it's just me doing catechesis. But, you know, there's a market for that. I mean, some people, you know, I just met a girl who I had never met before, young lady, and she was like, you should know that I listen to your podcast and I like it. I was like, oh, hey, cheers to you. You're sweet. Awesome. I knew there were some other awesome people in the world.
High five.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, there's some people out there who are like, yeah, you know, I like the banter and I like to hear some good Catholic nuggets in the middle of that.
Yeah.
And there's other people who are just like, just give me the meat.
Yeah.
And that's about what I can give.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And episodes are how long?
I aim for a half an hour. Every once in a while, okay. I do go beyond.
Occasionally the spirit moves
yep.
in such a way.
Awesome. Well, and tonight we're going to talk about how to reignite maybe a small town, turn them all Catholic,
yeah. light it up,
or evangelizing in a location where there's not a Catholic culture, right? Because I think we don't all live in small towns, but I think we all have
like moments, the whole United
moments
States,
in our life,
basically.
The office or whatever. So we'll get into it.
Bring on.
Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So, for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Madam, I am David Niles.
Most of the time.
I have dreams of being Adam Minahan.
Things got weird real fast.
Some are nightmares, some are good dreams, I guess.
Special guest today is my family resident priest.
Don't know what that
means.
Father Sean O'Brien.
I'm not a resident. Resident at his family. I live in a different place.
That's technically true.
A lot of things you've been saying.
It's
Dave.
Just awesome to have a priest in the family. Is what it is.
It is my honor.
You should say it that way.
Yeah, it's just
I'm the family priest.
It's hard to put that emotion into a title. I did my best.
Okay.
So before we get on, I just want to tell this story. We did a wishbone today, and I told you guys this story already.
Here it comes. Yes.
Yeah. It's just really funny.
High hopes.
So I slaughtered a rooster this last week because the kids were afraid to go outside.
Death to Chanticleer.
Chanticleer is dead.
Yes.
And there was much rejoicing. Yes, it's and we ate him today. We had chicken and dumplings this evening for dinner. It was delicious. And so we had the wishbone, and I was showing my oldest two. It's like, all right, you both make a wish, and then you break it apart. And they looked at me, and it's like, what? And I was like, it's just a game. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not magic. It's okay. And so then they did yeah. it.
Superstition for some, but for us, it's not
just it's
be.
Just fun. Okay, make a wish. Okay, it's fun. And so Elizabeth won, and I forget what she wished for. But then I asked Mary, I was like, what'd you wish for? And she's like, everything. It's like,
She wins.
What?
You can do.
It's a good thing you didn't win, I guess.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Yeah, too much.
You broke the rules.
Too much wishing.
But you're awesome also.
Yeah, but also,
big imagination.
Like, next
magnanimity,
time.
Magnanimity? Yeah. You won the award of most magnanimous.
Yes. Most magnanimous wisher.
Yeah.
Goes to Mary Niles.
Cheers to Mary.
Shout out to my goddaughter.
Age 7.
Yes.
That's right. We should all use her as our model. I want all the graces of God. Give me every single charism to the utmost degree. Yes. I can use them all, God, please.
Chump only asked for one. I want them all.
That's right. Give me yours. Oh, wait. God is not limited by this. I will take what you have, and you can share it still.
Speaking of embodying all the graces, over the break...
Where are we going?
You were just talking about what you're going to be doing in your county.
Good. Yes.
One of your counties.
Yes, yes, yes.
In the O'Brien Triangle.
Yeah, because we were joking. We were like... before the break, we were like, what should we do when we're, you know, around a heathen culture, like, you know, the United States? Mm-hmm. And like, how do you evangelize?
Looking at you, California.
Everybody. And then I said, kind of offhand, I said, well, what you do is you just consecrate that place to Mary and let her do it all.
Yeah.
And that is the correct answer.
And that's what actually, then you brought up.
I'm doing it Monday, baby. It's happening.
Yeah.
Monday's the day of the eclipse. More importantly, it's the day of the Annunciation. More locally important, it's the day of our consecration. Consecration of our major county.
Is this an annual thing, or is this something that...
This is the first time.
Okay.
This is the what we're doing. So, you know, Poto used to be, maybe still is, I don't really know. Well, it used to be the drug capital of Oklahoma, just to be frank. Mm. And I think the rest of Oklahoma is just kind of caught up to it.
Poto hasn't slowed down. Everybody else is just up their game. So,
Poto started a YouTube channel, and everybody else figured out how to do it.
Yeah, I mean, we got places that are like... the Spunky Skunk, and they sell marijuana, and we put the pot into Poto and stuff like that. So it's still there in force.
Those are medical facilities, Father
that
Sean.
Is true. You have to have some kind of a medical
you had
signature.
To have paid
maybe
a doctor money,
but yeah. Or so anyways, something. We're going to give the county to Jesus through Mary because it's better that way. Back, and this was kind of a long time in the works, and back in the summer, I was like, this has kind of just got to happen. And so on the Feast of St. Michael, we kind of have this annual tradition there in Poto of doing a holy hour for evangelization in general, maybe more specifically for those who have left the church that they return. And so we prayed some prayers of deliverance. I am an exorcist, but not like an official one, just in the nature of my priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
So we prayed some deliverance prayers. And then at that point, I announced that we will consecrate our county to Jesus through Mary.
Mm.
And where are you going to be doing this?
I will do this on the top of the tallest hill in the world, Cavanaugh Hill. Not spelled like you would think, C-A-V-A-N-A-L. Not like the, maybe was it Scottish or Irish, English spelling? I'm not sure.
No
A-U-G-H.
Idea.
That's weird, complicated. We're simple people in Poto, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So top of the highest hill in the world, on the day of the eclipse, there's a question if that road is going to be like jam-packed because of the tourist wanting to see the top of the highest hill in the world.
Because it's like... Because
I would if I wasn't down.
It's like not like a big road.
It's not a big road. There's hairpin turns, and the hairpin turns are on a road that's not so hot.
Yeah.
So if you're in town, come for the consecration of Mary to the tallest hill in the world. If you're just a tourist, just stay down.
You can see the eclipse from anywhere.
Yeah, you can see it from anywhere.
Like getting on top of the hill doesn't make the eclipse better.
We are in full totality. The original maps show that we were not. I guess they like
you will be in full totality.
We've been adopted by full totality.
What?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So, anyways, we're going to consecrate the county to Mary.
Oh man, maybe
we're giving it to Mary's name.
So, what's going to happen? How do you do it?
We'll be up there at 5:30. I will offer a prayer. I should do a little research to draw up a little prayer and do it. Unless there's official prayers already out there, I'm not sure. And then we're going to come down, do mass at 7 p.m. And at that, then we will also have the opportunity for individuals to consecrate themselves to Jesus through Mary altogether. So individually, but altogether.
Do you happen to know when the eclipse? I haven't looked it up. Do you know?
It's midday-ish.
Okay, so this is after the eclipse.
It's after the eclipse.
Come for the eclipse, stay for the consecration.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's going to be awesome.
That is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of stuff like we need more of.
Yeah.
I feel like it is like outward, very public things, like processions.
Processions.
I totally that just gets me jazzed when I see people doing processions.
Jazzed even.
Yeah.
Not just excited, but jazzed. Yeah, you know, I think a lot of churches have kind of rediscovered, specifically like the Corpus Christi Eucharistic procession, and for good reason.
Because it is so, it's like when people see it, that's one of my favorite things. I mean, obviously the best part of a procession is the glory and honor it gives to our Lord, consecrated in the Eucharist. But a good second place is seeing the look on other people's face.
Yeah.
When they're like, driving or walking by.
Wow, those people are different.
Totally mystified. Mm-hmm. And you can just tell they immediately know, they're like, what are they doing? Oh, that, like, and they can see what they're doing. There's something very special about
it. Well, it's kind of like,
you know,
bringing out the principal evangelist. You know, the priest is not the principal evangelist. The people are not the principal evangelist. The people have a more role of an evangelization than I do. But I've clearly learned that the one who's in charge of evangelization and bringing souls into unity of the Most Holy Trinity, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very clear from my experience. It's hard to evangelize, but when God's involved, he just like chooses the people he wants. He's like, I want you, and I want you, and I want you. And they just kind of show up, and that's awesome. I don't want to say like we don't have responsibility, because it's certainly our joy and our privilege and our honor to go out there and share. But we're not as effective as him. Mm-hmm. not.
What I like about when you do processions is like the people who don't know really what's going on, most of them still exhibit some sort of reverence.
They do.
That's
not, what I meant.
They're
yeah.
not sure like what's taking place, yet they know something is different, something is set apart, and I must, you know, and like they like become reverent to the best of their abilities as they're either walking by or they're, you know, they may, I've seen a lot of guys, you know, just kind of bow their head as it goes by. Like they don't know what's going on.
They'll at least like stop and be in awe.
Right.
Right.
Which is
you know what, like
that's a great,
you should be in awe.
What a profound moment for them. Yeah. I mean, that might be the most profound moment they've had in a long time. And so what a gift the procession is for all those people, because I mean, they're just, so many people who have zero encounter with the Lord, forget a daily basis. I mean, you know, maybe every now and then they're struck by the beauty of something, you know, okay, and they have some contact with a transcendental. Mm-hmm. But here in this procession, all of a sudden it's like, here's God. And you don't know what, but you're struck by it.
Totally. One thing, so Father, you're, like we've said, you're a pastor of three parishes, all in small towns. One thing that I love about small towns, especially in Oklahoma, is that the community is strong. It's still like a sense of, there's still a sense of community. Like there's still a sense of, well, maybe at least where the small towns that I'm around, maybe not yours in particular, but there's still a sense of a need or
you just mean like in the town?
Like there's a sense or a need of understanding, like that we need each other. Like, oh, I give this guy deer meat. He gives me fish, or you know, like there's a sense of
camaraderie, like neighborliness,
and like thinking about the other person, like as a neighbor. I'm not going to do that because of this neighbor's doing. You know, wouldn't want me to do that during this time, or you know, I don't know. There's just a sense of
cooperation.
The other.
That's an interesting point of conversation, because I would say the rural experience kind of leans in two different directions. One is maybe like where there is more of an established culture. There are still kind of the old world values, I mean, coming from Christ ultimately, and kind of continuing to pervade culture. And then there's other towns where it's just like the main work is left. And if you have a desire for a job, you've left town. And the people who are left there, you know, they're just the people who maybe couldn't get out or something like that. I don't want to insult anyone, but it's just not the same. And so it's tough. It's kind of like there's groups that are like, yes, we're holding on to it. And there's other groups that are just like, oopsie, we've totally dropped off.
But when there are times where it's like, yes, a lot of people have left, that actually yields itself to like, hey, in order for us to keep going, we have to work together. Right? Yes. Maybe.
I don't have a lot of experience with that. That definitely is the ideal. It's got to be restored, or it's got to be found, or it's got to be made.
After the penitential season of Lent, it's time to celebrate. Easter is the most important season of the church's liturgical calendar, but we often don't know how to celebrate it. We can rediscover Easter's festivities by extending it through the entire season. It's a full 50 days. I don't know about you guys, but normally the Minahans wake up Easter Sunday to find candy in the Easter baskets. We go to Mass, we maybe have a family dinner, but then it seems like everything goes back to normal the next day. But Easter is the greatest celebration of the Christian year. And with the octave of solemnities and a season of 50 days lasting longer than Lent, we should really be intentional about how we celebrate this. That's why I want to invite you to Easter 50 by Exodus 90. Go to exodus90.com and download the app. Easter 50 will help you take advantage of the entire Easter season as a time of festivity. Now we have the right occasion to celebrate and a community to celebrate it with our family and our fraternity that we've been establishing for over the 90 days. And all we need to do in addition is plan some times to feast and celebrate together. So if you are curious on how to do that, go to exodus90.com, download the app, and join us for Easter 50 as we are sons of the resurrection. Welcome back to the Catholic Command Show. We are currently giving away for their first 50 patrons of $10 more a month. You go to patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow and you sign up. If you become a patron, you will receive two candles, 100% beeswax candles, prayer candles from Ambrosian Candle Company, made by a good Catholic family. You can go to ambrosiancandles.com and look at all of their beautiful candles. But we're giving two of them to you as a gift, as a thank you gift for signing up for the first 50. We've had quite a few already sign up, but if you go to patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow, you will most likely be able to squeeze in and get a couple prayer candles, something that will be really great for you and your family as you guys are praying through these 50 days of Easter together. Whether you're reading the Bible or praying the rosary together, Dave and I've talked about on the show quite a bit that the more you can incorporate the smells and bells, so to speak, in prayer time with family, the higher
Especially
success
fire.
Rate that you have with engagement with the young kids. So that's always a good thing.
Fire is the best. Works on everybody. Works on me.
And we also have for our patrons, we have a theologian that's going to be answering questions. So if you have a question about the Catholic faith, we have Dr. Aaron Henderson that will be available to you to answer questions about the Catholic faith. So
Jesus
Patreon.
Is the answer.
He has a very easy. Yeah. He has a very easy job. All he has to do is
sneak peek. Jesus is the answer.
Yeah. So anyway,
every question.
Who is the savior of the universe?
Jesus.
That is correct.
Yeah.
You are a theologian.
Yeah. Thank you.
You are welcome.
I would like a diploma, please.
It runs in the family. Sorry.
Yeah.
So, Sean, I want to follow up on something you said earlier. When you're talking about Jesus being the primary evangelist.
Definitely.
Because I think that's true, and we all have to keep that in mind as we like go about. I think you're setting yourself up for failure if you say, I am going to go evangelize this person. You know, obviously you need to say yes to like the call to evangelization for this person. But like, if you're trying to like go in there and win, you know, like I'm going to go win, I'm going to have all the right answers and stuff, it's just probably not going to go very well. So how do you, and you just like your own experience, how do you, that attitude of like, okay, Jesus is the evangelist. What does that actually look like when you're encountering somebody who you think is like, this is a moment of evangelization?
First off, the background is necessary. It means that you pray as if you believe that he's the primary evangelist. So you have to recognize that when he says ask, seek, knock, he ain't joking. Like if you're, you should be praying a whole lot more than you were evangelizing. Because if you don't ask, well, maybe he won't answer. If you don't seek, maybe you won't find. If you don't knock, maybe he's not going to answer the door. And I would say he won't. Because of his words. Do you believe that or not? I mean, do you put your knees before the Lord? on a regular basis, on an everyday basis, and do you just count on his word? If you're not praying, it ain't going to get done. You know, I like to think, if God ain't doing it, it ain't getting done. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my experience of those people who have entered. So when I first got there, it was right after COVID, kind of all the structures have kind of fallen apart. All the kind of the social, you know, the people have told me that, like, oh yeah, before COVID, we used to get together in all these different ways and it was very nice. And after COVID, it has not been the same. And it's not been the same in a number of different, for yeah. different reasons, but.
And that's true kind of all over.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And so I, you know, it's, the question is like, who is going to bring the souls to the Lord? And my experience is that a whole lot more people just show up out of the blue than who are actually quote unquote evangelized by our members, myself or whoever it might be. And I mean, it's just awesome. You know, it's just awesome. You know, it's just like God just like brings people in. My big prayer was like, Lord, bring me leaders, bring me evangelizers, bring me people who can lead forth, bring me apostolic people. And like, the strange thing was, is like, he didn't bring forth converts. First off, he just like moved people into the area. We had all of a sudden, all these people who are already like really good Catholics just show up out of the blue, moving in from like out of state. That was kind of a unique phenomenon, maybe my first year there. And it was just like, oh my gosh, Jesus, you're like answering my prayer.
Yeah, but still like a very by the way, visible thank answer. You, Jesus.
A clear answer.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, when I first got there, you know, I had no idea what I was going to do. You know, I was a brand new pastor, three parishes, one's a half an hour away from my main hub, and the other's like 50 minutes away from my main hub. It's not a hub because they don't come to each other. They're so far apart, and there's also the nearby major city of Fort Smith, semi-major city of Fort Smith, which is actually in a different state. I serve in Oklahoma, Fort Smith in Arkansas. And some of my parishioners are like 10 to 15 minutes away from like the beautiful churches there that have all the family ministry, the beautiful choir, et cetera, et cetera. And what do we have? We have a small church that looks like a metal building that no one made to be a church. Yay, come join us. And this is like, well, you know what? People just showed up. I mean, it's just crazy. It's awesome. Huh. Like, I really, truly dedicated myself to prayer. I mean, it's not my toot my own horn here, but like, I just had no idea what to do. And I recognized, I truly believed that if God ain't doing it, it ain't getting done. And God was truly faithful, truly, truly faithful. And I mean, it continues to be the case. I mean, people just show up out of the blue. You know, they're like, they find Jesus on YouTube. You know, they find Jesus just because of they moved from another town and they had already kind of established some kind of a connection with the church. And now they're kind of looking to kind of finalize this or fulfill what they have been interested in. I'm just like, whoa, like, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You do make this very easy. You know, I had one guy, I mean, I could just go on story after story after story. You know, I had one guy, he's like, hey, Faller. He called me up. I had never met him before. Hey, Faller, grew up in Stigler and I moved away, met a girl. She was Catholic. We got married. I became Catholic, and I'm about ready to move home, and I want to sit down and talk with you about how we can evangelize Stigler. I was like, well, we can sit down, okay, and we can talk about that and do it. Yes, please. I'm ready for this.
Yeah.
And
let's skip the talk and just do it now.
Right. But, you know, I mean, it takes a little bit of – I mean, this guy surely has the gift of the charism of evangelization, but it's also like – okay, you're in like a huge spiritual high, so we're also going to have to like recognize, like, first off, you have to like be friends with people. You have to establish like a bridge of trust. And, you know, for people who are just coming to the church, some people intuit that, and other people will just be like, okay, slow down, slow down, slow down. Like, you know, you don't burn your bridges with your zeal.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of, you know, make a bridge.
Be a friend to them.
Be a friend. Make a friend. Be a friend. Bring a friend to Christ.
Right.
Yeah. So one of the, and maybe this is, you didn't bite on the whole community aspect.
Oh, yes,
and
forgot
about
that.
And so maybe this is the wrong angle or the wrong direction, but I have found where I've been in the small towns is that while maybe community might be lacking at times, there are still events that happen in small towns that yield itself the need to gather together. Right, so whether it's a wedding or a funeral, or something where something is happening, where you're getting people together in one place, and I have found that in a lot in several small towns, it's typically the Catholic church that they gather, like the Catholic hall, you know, that they either rent out or they use.
Even because, for people who aren't Catholic?
Even for people who are not Catholic. Hmm. Because it's like that's just the place that is available. And so I guess my question, like the importance of making sure that when you have that opportunity that you are ready.
Always being ready is certainly an excellent key, and to jump on those opportunities. I will say at none of my three parishes, we are like a community center. We don't operate as a community center. The community sees us as kind of a fringe community.
Hmm.
There's not a lot of trust with the Catholic Church. I mean, rural Oklahoma, there's fundamentalists all over the place.
Yeah, it's rural Oklahoma is a drastically non-Catholic place.
So I would say that the people, I mean, they're enough postmodern to be like, oh, they're at least nice people. You know, we can at least, you know, talk with them without, you know, hating their guts. But I mean, they kind of like worship Mary, and they kind of are like weird. And I don't really want my kids to hang around with their. It's not quite as bad as we don't want their kids. They don't want their kids to hang around with our kids. But there is a lack of distrust. I will say I see a huge part of my role as kind of the, maybe in a certain sense, the principal evangelist. Jesus is the principal evangelist, as I said. But my big role as kind of being the public face would be to be the bridge of trust, to be the bridge of trust. I make little YouTube videos, and I pay YouTube to put that in front of a lot of people. And, you know, they're just simple messages. I'm not like, quote unquote, like trying to convert people, but I am trying to be a bridge of trust. Because, you know, the priest who comes after me, the people who are out there talking with these people, you know, they're going to be able to receive, they're going to be able to kind of receive the harvest in a way that I can't. You know, I don't know these people personally. They don't know me. They don't trust me. But if they see my collar, they recognize that I'm a Roman Catholic priest. And if they kind of recognize like, he's actually got a reasonable message. He's not crazy. Mm-hmm. So I do that with YouTube. I had a little editorial in the newspaper for a while. And, you know, this past Holy Thursday, I spoke at an just a little prayer service, ecumenical prayer service, which I thought was actually very nice. Different churches kind of got together in the little town of Stigler, and it was the first time that I preached the genre of devotion. And then you'll give a little devotion, Father. I was like, okay, I think that means I just preach and try to bring people to a higher devotion. So it was the first time I did that genre. But I think it went great, and you know, a lot of people told me afterwards, that's the first time that we've ever heard a Catholic priest, like, period. So it's like just being that bridge of trust, because without bridge of trust, no one's going to listen. No one's going to pay attention.
Okay. So, I mean, there's obviously different obstacles that you have to overcome in each city.
Holy Spirit overcomes, but it takes time.
Yeah.
Barring miracles.
I think that the key there is, like, how do we get the community involved? Right? We'll talk about that on the other side of the break.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan, our special guest, Father Sean O'Brien.
Hi.
Jim.
Jim, the yummy scale.
What is the yummy scale? A 3.
A 3.
And is that out of 5? Are we still out of 5?
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
I'm a 3 out of 5, or I'm 3 out of
it's
10,
a, it's
whatever
a 3
you want.
Out of whatever you think.
3 out of 3.
What did you wish for? Everything.
Everything.
3 is the magic number. It's the Trinitarian number.
You should have heard the way she said it. It wasn't everything. It was everything. It was like a definitive everything. I wished for everything.
I wanted all, Dad.
It was so awesome.
I will take it all.
Okay. So.
Oh, yes. This is going to be fun.
If you don't check out our YouTube channel, you really should, because in between breaks, We end up talking about the best things.
We strategize. It's excellent. It's fun. It's good.
Sometimes stuff we say in the break is way better than all the other stuff. So we were talking about in between the break about feasting.
Feasting, yes.
And I'm so glad that we're moving in this direction, because, like, I think festivals and moments of communal joy that you have, like a, if you have a parish festival, I'm going to, let me come about this from a kind of a roundabout way. One thing I think a lot of people, myself included, and I try not to get hung up on this, about evangelizing is I feel reticent sometimes to invite someone to Mass with me because I know that they're going to be feel out of place no matter how welcoming I am. And if I was, you know, like occasionally when that happens, you know, I'll tell them a little bit about, hey, this is what we're going to do. It's, and, you know, make them try to feel welcome. But then like, oh, when they come to receive communion, are they going to go receive communion? And so like, if I'm just telling people willy-nilly, you should go to Catholic Church on Sunday, you know, rightly or wrongly, I don't know where my hangup is rightly or placed here. I'm just a little bit reticent to do that out of my reverence for the Eucharist that people might be illegitimately receiving communion through no fault of their own, right? But I think a lot of people share that hesitancy.
For sure. I mean, it's like you show up to Mass and you're like, well, that was weird. That was just weird. I don't really feel called to come back again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right. However.
However.
The flip side of that.
There's something more awesome to come to.
Is like when you have a parish festival, when you have a celebration of some kind where you're getting together and it's just a feast of or communal joyous occasion. Those are the moments when like unload the bus, bring everybody. You know, like if your parish does a festival, definitely invite all your neighbors because for them to come together and see a community that is just, you know, eating, lots of children playing. And it's just like, I think those are the moments where people are going
to
say, hey,
I want
this is
that.
Something I want to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, it's good that you are particularly excited about that because I will say that your parents have been my principal educators in having a good party.
Oh.
Between the New Year's Eve party, July 4th, you know, Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, holy smokes. You know, this ain't that hard. You know, this can be so awesome. You know, you bring good people together for a good reason and you have good food with some kind of good activity or maybe even more than one. And it's just like, boom, you know, you just had an awesome party. So like, this is a clear strategy for me as a pastor, because it is kind of a simple and accessible platform for people to bring people to, but it's also helpful because so many of the people, you know, in so many ways, the people who grew up Catholic, are toast, they're gone. And it's just super, super sad. Whether in rural Oklahoma, they've moved away or they've just like dropped off the bandwagon.
Mm.
So many of our people have either moved from out of state as Catholics or have moved into the church as converts. I guess technically we don't call them converts because by and large, they are already followers of Jesus, but not in the Catholic Church, not in the fullness of that following. So, you know, this is an opportunity for us to be like, by the way, everyone should know that like celebrating, we have the best to celebrate, so we should celebrate the best. I love to tell my people that. We have the best to celebrate, so we should celebrate the best. So, you know, my goal is to like have these annual traditions. People know that these excellent celebrations are coming up and they know what to do on these occasions. We don't have to invent the wheel every single dang time.
Sure.
In, you know, one of our festivals is in October. We call it Mary Fest. It's not Oktoberfest, it's Mary Fest. And we kind of have some non-lyrical Oktoberfest music playing in the background, you know, I guess the accordions and whatnot. But we began with Mass. We began with a rosary before Mass. Then we had Mass. And then we had bobbing for apples, which is super fun. I had the unique privilege of going first. And I discovered that it was harder than I anticipated. And then we kind of went from the youngest upward. And the adults got involved. You know, I believe in games and activities that both children and adults can play in.
Yes.
So bobbing and apples is one of them. So after that, we went inside and we had like excellent German food. And then like I invited the guys up and we sang a Marian song. It's just like, boom, baby. We just had Oktoberfest and it was awesome and everyone loved it. Another one that we've done, well, another one that's coming up is kind of a festival for Divine Mercy. And we're going to do like a procession while we sing the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and we're gonna have some excellent food, Vietnamese food, because they were eager. I don't think we're having pho. I don't remember. Okay. They sent me the menu, and I was like, "Whoa, this is rather an extensive menu." Because y'all are super awesome. They just love to be generous, and so we're gonna do that, and then we're gonna have a piñata. And because it's Divine Mercy, the piñata will have how many points on it?
8.
No.
Okay.
Try it again. You're close.
7.
7. Because of the 7
sacraments.
No, because of the 7 deadly sins. And so you will you will destroy those sins because of divine mercy, okay? You will uphold
Jesus.
The 7.
Jesus. Because of Jesus.
Because if Jesus destroys the 7 deadly sins. That's right. I mean, that's a piñata. I mean, isn't that awesome? Like,
yeah.
You destroy the 7 deadly sins when you hit a piñata with 7 points. And so we're going to do that. And then we're going to do a little karaoke. Be a little bit of an experiment. I think we have enough people who will be willing to do a little karaoke.
Will you karaoke?
Again, the priest will have the privilege of going first.
Yes.
If not the privilege, he will at least be setting the stage for everyone else to come back.
If not the privilege,
he will go first.
Yeah. Anyway.
it's kind of like, you know, you're like snowshoeing. It's like, oh, who wants to go first and snowshoeing? Or you're like trying to break new territory and it's like, it's harder. And so like, the priest will do it. He will go first. He will put his pride in the line and just make a fool of himself and do it. And everyone will be like, that's awesome. Yay. I want to do it too. That's the ideal world.
Such a great priest, Father Sean. That's real fatherhood right there.
You know, another one we do is...
Do you do the Easter fire?
For the Easter vigil?
No.
What you mean by that.
So one of the old traditions in the Catholic faith was that after Easter... You have an Easter fire, the light of Christ. You spread it around the warmth of Christ, with the risen Christ. And so, people would gather together for basically a dinner potluck type of thing, and then they would have a big bonfire, like a massive bonfire, all together.
The simple answer is no, we have not done that. But I will say that I have been trying to get one of my communities to have like a big old bonfire for Pentecost, the fire of the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
And no one's really bid on that. I'm like, this is like the clearest, most obvious, most awesome opportunity. And everyone's like, let's do something else on another day. I was like, okay.
Do we not have any men here who will light a fire? Yeah.
So, you know, another like great activity for like kids and adults is like pin the beard on St. Joseph. Pin the beard on the saint. And it's so fun. It's also a great one for a bilingual community. Two of my communities are bilingual. Not an easy task, but, you know, not an unreasonable task. Mm-hmm. And you just got to, like, you know, bobbing for apples. You can do that. Doesn't matter what language you speak. Doesn't matter what age you are.
Turns out you're not talking while you're bobbing.
Yeah. pin the beard on the saint or pin the crown on Mary. You know, those are things that we have done. And it's like, you shout in whatever language you want. And the person will get close or not get close. And that's fine. That's awesome. And it's just a good time. And, and people will yell in English and Spanish. If we had Vietnamese people there, they would probably yell in Vietnamese. I don't know.
And so, it's the kind of thing that you can invite people to.
Oh, totally. Once again, totally. Because it's like, it's not like intimidating. Like, what am I going to have to do? Am I going to have to kneel and genuflect and like prostrate myself? Am I going to have to make the sign of the cross? Are you going to force me to do anything?
It's right. Like, am I going to have to say the sinner's prayer?
Just come and have fun. Yeah. Right. Like, this is just awesome. We love Jesus. We love the saints. So come and just have a good time.
And it's not... Because there's, you know, two sides to the coin. One side is, no, like, we need to go big on these, like, conversations. It's like, no, you need to accept Jesus as your person. You know, like, you know, the kerygma and, you know, like, and you can scare people away with the high pressure kind of stuff. The other side is like, oh, don't ever bring that up. Just be like a really great guy, and eventually they'll ask you, okay? And I think both
and
of those...
And then you can refer to them to the priest because you don't have the guts or the knowledge.
Right,
to like
exactly.
That.
Both
like,
of those miss the mark.
Fail.
But when you're having a party it's like, oh, this is about the... We're celebrating the Annunciation. This is an Annunciation party. You know, and then like that kind of sets a backdrop that... You know, it's not, oh, just a party, just because we like to party and we're great people and you should come hang out with us more often. It's like, no. We're actually celebrating a real thing. And like, it's something that's like casual to talk about. Like, oh, we're celebrating thank you for coming to our Annunciation party. You know, like,
Well, I mean, Pieper says that you actually can't celebrate without it being
religious. It's not a real celebration. Anyway,
it has to be oriented towards the eternal in one way or the other.
Yeah. So, festivals. High, like...
Aim high.
Aim high.
And lay people, please take some initiative. Like, jump in there. You know, if you expect your priest to do all, he ain't going to do it all because he can't. So he needs you. He needs you. Take initiative. Be a man.
I once heard it...
Catholic man listening to the Catholic Man Show.
I once heard it said that shepherds don't make sheep. Sheep make sheep.
Exactly. I love that.
We're out of time on Catholic Radio. Go check us out on thecatholicmanshow.com. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers.
Cheers to Jesus.
Sheep make sheep.
Sheep make sheep. You know, I mean, that's another thing. I mean, I had this one guy. He's like, yeah, like, you know, we need to really invest in what we're doing at the church. Like, money makes money. I was like, yes. But using that same logic, we'll also say that faith makes faith. You know, you can't just throw money at a problem. Like, if you throw money at a problem, it's just money at a problem. But if maybe
that
like
does help a lot,
if you like,
it can.
If you like hire someone who comes into your ear from outside and brings a lot of faith, that's like, whoa, okay, you just bought faith. Like, you can't quite buy faith, but you moved faith, you redistributed the faith, and that's a game changer. I mean, so like, you know, just connecting. You know, it's strange. Like we live in such like a bureaucratic world that people are almost expecting the faith to come at them in a bureaucratic way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it's hard to break out of that model. But I think you can also like use that model. You know, you can connect people with retreats. You can connect people with, you know, one thing that we've done is connect people with Curcio, with our Hispanics. The charismatic renewal has been huge. They're, you know, a lot of times I think people give them a bad name for different things, but they've been like totally awesome. And they're like deeper members of our church than like anyone else in the sense of like deferring to the pastor and different things.
They definitely do not lack active participation in the faith.
Yeah, I know. I mean, ours are different. I mean, it's a whole different experience in the Hispanic community. They like are like, they follow the international constitution. There's a written out constitution to it, and they follow it.
Of the charismatic renewal?
Yeah, uh-huh. They're not just like people praying in a charismatic way. That's an element of what they do, but they follow like the constitution.
Really?
And they like put together like a program of evangelization. So the people from out of our state in Arkansas have literally, they come and they do retreats at our campus because of the organization that they have. There are some designated to be evangelizers outside of their parish. And because of the organization, they can like designate people to do that. And so they've made a huge influence where we're at. And now, I mean, Poto is like five times the size of either of my parish, five or six times bigger than either of my other two parishes. And now they're reaching out to the other one that's bilingual. And it's like they're starting up their own little community there. And they're like heroic. They're great. They're excellent. I mean, I am surprised that, you know, I know other circles and they're just not supported. It's just like, well, I mean, when they're like following the constitution that's like established, maybe not established by the church, but approved by the church.
Mm.
It's just like, these guys are like, they are the best. They're the best because they are the most evangelistic of any of the people that I have in my parish.
I'm really glad to hear that.
Yeah. Oh, they're superb.
I really am.
I have great trust in them. I don't mind saying that publicly.
I want to ask a evangelization question from kind of a different angle, maybe more of an interior angle. And I'm just reflecting on my own attempts, failures, and successes in evangelization. And I look back and think about a lot of opportunities I had where, you know, the Lord pretty clearly, in hindsight, put a moment of evangelization in front of me, you know, like something that just came up in a natural conversation. And I was caught off guard and I missed it. And immediately afterwards, after that conversation was over, I was like, I totally dropped the ball there. And so when I try to overcorrect, you know, then I try to like, constantly I've had moments where I was like trying to be over ready, you know, and then,
I can't imagine Dave being overready.
You can see how that would go poorly.
Brother, you should become Catholic today.
Yes.
Jesus loves you, and if you don't love Jesus, you're going to hell.
Come in. Shut the door.
That's right. I have something to tell you.
You're going to be here for a minute.
You cannot leave until you agree to this. So And that, like, as I've gotten older, hopefully a little bit wiser, I like starting to feel more about like my focus on those two things about, oh, like being ready or like not, like that's putting my attention in the wrong spot. And I really want your feedback on this. The way I feel about it now is just to like constantly be, instead of being focused on readiness for evangelization, I think about now being just present with Christ as I go about my day. And as I'm if I am present with him, then I will simply be ready. That if I just have a focus on him, then sort of that affection for him will prompt me to want to say something when that moment comes. It's because I, you know, if it's a big if, and it's like a huge struggle for me, and
so what are you asking?
Long way to go. Instead of like being focused on evangelization,
what's the proper like attitude I should have towards evangelization?
Yes.
You know, I think that's an excellent question, because I mean, we've all been there and we've all recognized that we've missed opportunities. And like, how can I prepare my heart for those opportunities? You know, the proper motivation ultimately is love. I think it is also a duty. It's a responsibility. I mean, if kind of like what I was saying earlier, if you have the best to celebrate the world, you should celebrate the best. If you have discovered the greatest treasure in the world and you strengthen that treasure by sharing it, you kind of got the duty to share it. You know, it's going to be better for you. It's going to be better for everyone. And you should feel that responsibility. And then, you know, and it might start out as a responsibility, but I mean, if you dive into that responsibility, recognizing that Jesus is going to be the principal evangelizer in whatever context, then you will enter more deeply into prayer. And as you deepen your prayer life, you'll deepen your love for the Lord. And that will purify your motivations above and beyond that of duty and responsibility. And so, you know, exactly what you're saying there, to be in the presence of God every moment, you know, to kind of recognize and to appreciate and to cultivate that truth of the sacrament of the presence of God in every moment, that this moment right here is now an opportunity for me to love God because he's present here. And all I have to do is obey him and listen to him. And it is a beautiful privilege for me to do that right here, right now. Whether it's I'm talking with someone or I'm reading a book or, you know, it's someone has kind of opened a door. You know, it's tough. I don't have the gift of evangelization. I got people at my churches who are much better at evangelizing than me. I feel that my charisms are much more oriented towards like formation of my people. But I will nonetheless say that, like, you know, I'm just like anyone else. Like, I got to be always ready, and I desire to share the faith. But I just like don't really know. Like, I mean, St. Paul, I mean, is also a model because he prays, I forget where it is in his letters, but he prays that God will open a door for him to share the gospel. And that's true. It's again, God, Jesus is the principal evangelist. He opens the door, not just in the opportunities that we experience at the external level, but he opens the door in people's hearts for them to like hear the truth in a unique and new way. And so just always being ready with love and like with a desire, like I've actually found the best thing in the world and I would love to share this. Will someone give me an opportunity, please? I'm looking for it. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. So maybe if I yes, you did answer my question.
Yes.
And I think I would rephrase what I was trying to say is that instead of actually focusing on evangelization, if we focus on our constant desire for Christ, that desire for him. I mean, if like we are just really ardently loving him.
Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, because your kingdom is awesome. It's the best.
Yes.
And everyone should enter into this. Please. Why are people not?
That moment when you have an opportunity, you won't let it pass you by, because out of your just affection and love for, it's like, I am so glad you asked, because like, I have this thing that I just absolutely adore and I have to tell you about
it. And that's the height of holiness. It's charity. I mean, this is why the saints are going to be, you know, much more profound evangelizers than I could ever be. I mean, please God, he makes me a saint today, if not today, tomorrow. But I mean, St. John Vianney popping down in Poto, Oklahoma, you know, he's a game changer. He radically changes the nature of what we're doing there at the parish. And, or, you know, or of a layperson too, you know, they can be saints as well. That's going to be a huge game changer.
I find that there's a strong relationship between somebody who's a very good evangelizer and somebody who's a very good listener. Because I find that there's most people, like, in order to evangelize, you need to hear their story, you need to listen to them, and you need to actually like understand where they're coming from and like what their actual struggles are. Mm-hmm. Because like you can sit there and be like, listen to my prayer life, look how awesome this is, this is so great, I want you to have this because it's so great, listen to me. And it's like, well, hold on, that's not even what they're needing right now.
Yeah.
And so in order to have to be a very like a strong evangelist, like, people want to be loved. And so in order to be loved, they, you know, most of them, they have to tell their story, or they have to like share their life with you, mm-hmm. In order to build that trust, like you were talking about earlier, in order to build, to have those meaningful, deeper conversations. It's one of the things that I think that just as I've gotten older and in doing, you know, trying to share Christ with people, I've learned that I've become much more successful doing so actually just by listening to that person. And understanding them as, like, and what they're wanting to convey, because there are a lot of times I have so many things that I want to tell them, mm-hmm. That they're not either ready for, or they're not interested in, or that they like,
right.
That's not what they're asking.
No, I think that's a totally good point. And I'll just give you an example. I remember when I was my first year or two in ministry, this guy was telling me like, "Hey, Father, I'd love to invite you out for dinner and talk with a few things with you." And he was serving at the church, but he wasn't going to mass, but he grew up Catholic, and so there was some kind of disconnect. And so we went out for lunch, and he was just telling me all kinds of different things, and nothing like crazy, crazy deep, but he was being sincere. And I was like, "Oh, I want to tell you something right now, but hey, you know what? I just feel the sense that like I should wait and pause, and just, this is just kind of a listening time, you know. You know, this is a relationship here. Like, he doesn't have to be converted today unless he dies tomorrow. But, you know, it doesn't look like he's going to." So, you know, I just said, like, "Okay, you know, I'm listening. I hear you. Okay, God bless you." And we concluded the lunch. Next time I saw him, he said, "Oh, Father, thank you so much. The advice that you gave me was so excellent." And he started going to church, like, every Sunday. I was like, I made the conscious decision not to say anything.
I don't even know what I said to you.
In fact, I made the decision to say nothing.
Father, I totally... I
know for a fact I didn't say anything.
I know that to be the case, right? There are times where I have...
It's amazing.
...actively
and
chosen...
And that man was Adam Minahan.
Yeah! And we finally got him back in the church! Yes!
But I too have made conscious decisions of, like, I have so many things I want to say right now, but I'm not going to. And I, like, pull back and actually don't say things,
which is hard because like I want to,
when you know something you want to share it because it's a good thing,
and you're doing so many things wrong, and that like this is the reason you're talking to me about how you're unhappy. I know why you're unhappy, but like if I tell you,
you're not ready yet,
it's gonna overload.
I have met a number of people who, you know, they do have unique charisms to be able to like see into people's lives, and you know, the first thing they do is they say that, because they recognize this grace comes from God, and if it comes from God, therefore it means that I must say it. But there's a second discernment there. The first discernment is this truth of the Holy Spirit? And the second discernment is this given to me in order to say it, or is it just given to me as a particular gift in this conversation? Because I've seen it go well, and I've seen it go poorly.
Yeah.
And it really is kind of a discernment.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of... fascinating.
And the interesting thing, kind of like what you had said, is that when you make that decision to actually not say things, the next time you talk to them, they do say stuff like, "That was such a great conversation." And it's like, well, actually, it wasn't a conversation. It was you talking to
me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you thought it was a good conversation because you actually needed that time to share, because maybe you haven't had that opportunity or whatever it is. And then I find that once you start doing that, people actually think, "Oh, you're so great at having these conversations and like evangelizing people," and you realize like, well, actually, all I'm doing is just being there for that person and listening to them.
Yeah.
Have you all done a topic on like the 5 thresholds of conversion by Sherry Wydell?
No.
From Intentional Disciples?
No, yeah. we haven't.
I recommend just like the 5 thresholds, because it's just like, it's like point blank. This is where someone's at, and this is how you can advance them forward. You're not going to do it all in a conversation, but like you can walk with them and help them to come to the next step. mm-hmm. next level, next threshold, threshold meaning like doorway, mm-hmm. and walk through that next door. I think that'd be a great topic.
Yeah.
Because trust is the first. If there's no trust, you as an evangelizer, you're going to have no luck, no fruit. No luck, isn't it? We're not talking about luck, but mm-hmm. The grace might be poured out there, but the person is not disposed to receive it. And if there's like no curiosity after the trust, like, well, what makes this guy different? Why does he celebrate these saints? What makes the saints awesome? Like, and then, you know, can you move on from there? Mm-hmm. I would recommend just those five little thresholds would be great.
Father, thanks so much for hanging out with us this evening.
My joy. Love being with you.
The podcast again for people to come check out.
Deep Dives with Father Sean, S-E-A-N, the Super Catholic Catechesis Podcast. I love saying that last part. The Super Catholic Catechesis Podcast.
It is pretty good.
Awesome. Anything else? You good?
No. Thank you, Father Sean.
You're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers.
Ding, ding.